Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
What does it mean to walk by faith? That's how we're to live as Christians. So what does that look like? Well, I think we first have to know what faith is. Mm-hmm. And we have to go to the book of Hebrews to see the definition. We talked about this yesterday. We want to continue that discussion today. So if you have questions about faith, how it looks in your life, what it's supposed to look like in your life, we invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. We're anxious to hear from you on today's broadcast. So faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Yeah. That's the definition of faith. Mm-hmm. So that's the building blocks of this life that we are to live out each and every day. It's not a rules and regulations life. It's not a do these 10 things and then you will be pleasing to God or acceptable to God. It's simply believing that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of faith. And he goes on to say that down in verse 6, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have to realize that there is a God. There is a being that spoke this world into existence that holds all things together. And because of his very nature, is someone that we need to seek after.
Yeah.
And so when we seek after, he rewards us. Not because of good deeds, he simply rewards us with the knowledge of who he is.
Yes.
So by faith, we learn about God. We learn about God and the person and work of Jesus Christ. We find out what he's exactly like. That he's not that mean old ogre in the sky. He's not that old crotchety judge.
Yeah.
He is actually the Lord God who loves us so much, who sent us his son so that those of us who believe in him might have everlasting life. That's the very essence of faith. And when we trust the son, when we transfer our full weight of trust onto Jesus, that's what pleases God the Father. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's what this faith life is all about, simply trusting Jesus. And this isn't a passive word, faith. It's a very active mm-hmm. word. So we're going to see it lived out. It's a working word, a verb word. So when we're trusting Jesus, we're going to see Jesus working his life in and through us.
Well, in fact, that's the only way we can have his life living in and through us. Right, is by faith.
That's exactly right.
That's why it's action.
Yeah, a by grace through faith proposition. It's kind of interesting, this chapter of Hebrews 11, it's God commending the saints of old for their faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to note, that this isn't a chapter about all the great things that they did, although he mentions a lot of that, mm-hmm. but he's really talking about the underlying motivation. What moved them, what compelled them to act in the ways that they did in their time and place in history.
Yes.
And it was faith. It was faith in God. It was faith in what God had revealed to them. I mean, just imagine Abraham getting up from where he lived and going to a place that he knew nothing about. What compelled him to do so? The fact that God had come to him and had come to him with blessings and promises, and Abraham took him at his word. And so he got up and moved from where he was to the promised land. That's what Abraham did. That's what faith moved him to do. Mm-hmm. So this is a chapter about faith, the underlying driving motivation of their lives. And what is faith? It is a response to God's grace. It is a response to God's initiative. God always initiates, we always respond. God always initiates in grace, we respond in faith. If we respond to God in any other way, through laws or through, hey, look what I've done or any of that, we've missed the message. We haven't heard the message right. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message concerning Christ. So God commends these saints of old for their faith. It's kind of interesting as well, and I think this is a side note as far as this discussion of faith is concerned, but it actually really plays into it. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer is talking about the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ, and he's contrasting the shed blood of Jesus to the shed blood of bulls and goats. So the shed blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. They could never perfect the believer. Otherwise, they would have stopped being offered. They could not make believers holy. They couldn't take away the sins once and for all. Only the blood of Jesus could do that. And as he comes to the conclusion of that argument, that case that he's making for the blood of Christ, he says this, and it's a repeat of one of the promises of the new covenant, that that God will remember our sins no more. Yeah. Well, Hebrews 11 is proof that that is true, because God doesn't mention any of the sins of these saints of old. Now, we know from reading the Old Testament, they were salty characters.
Yes.
They had quite a few warts that they were displaying in their lives, just as we do. But faith is what pleases God. And so we can trust God with warts and all. And when all is said, what God is going to remember and how he's going to tell our story is he's going to commend us for our faith. That's how significant, that's how important faith really is. So let's talk about it on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number that you can call, 844-322-2742. And Richard, I know there's many of our listeners out there that don't have the ability to pick up the phone and call us during this particular time. There are many ways that you can pose your questions to us here on Basic Gospel. The easiest way is to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the radio tab, and under that radio tab, you will see a link that says on-air question. Click that on-air question, and you can actually voice your question to us. You can record that. We can hear it, actually play it back on the radio broadcast, and answer it in an upcoming program. Mm-hmm. So if you are listening and it's not during the live time right now, it's about 3:10 Central Time. So if you're not hearing us at that time, you're listening to a delayed broadcast. We still want you to participate.
Yes.
And that's the best way to do it. Click basicgospel.net, the radio tab, and then on-air questions, and we would love to field your question on an upcoming Basic Gospel broadcast. So 844-322-2742 is the number to call right now if you would like to pose a question on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. Today we're going to talk, we're going to answer some of the email questions that we have, and we have a great one from Tina, don't we?
Yes, we do. Let me read the whole thing because it's important. Would you please talk to me about tithing? I know that we are under the new covenant, but I am so confused with the whole tithing issue. I want to give to God what is rightfully his, 10%, and I want to do what is right. In faith, I've begun giving the church my 10%, and boy, is it making an already tight budget even tighter. I do not begrudge that, and I'm happy to do it. I'm learning to do more with less, to be obedient and faithful to God so as to serve him. The Bible says not to rob God of what is his, and yet it also says that Jesus loves a cheerful giver at any amount. At 10%, I am cheerfully and trustfully giving. I just feel like there is something that I'm not understanding, because so much of what we were told in the Old Testament changed in the New Testament. Please help me to understand. Thank you.
Well, Tina, we appreciate that question, and I think she started at the right place with the realization that we live in the New Covenant. That at the time of Christ's death, his shed blood ushered in a brand new covenant.
Yes.
So when he stood before his disciples the night before, he raised the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." Well, that had been prophesied by Jeremiah a number of years before, and Jesus was standing before his disciples saying this new covenant is about to be ushered in.
Yes.
So upon his death, there was a pivoting from the old to the new. And so as believers in Christ today, we live in the new covenant, mm-hmm. not the old covenant. The old covenant was a covenant between God and the nation of Israel. All of the central elements of that were given at Mount Sinai, with the Ten Commandments being the centerpiece. But there were 600 other laws and rules and regulations that the nation of Israel need to follow. And one of those things that God specified in that old covenant was tithing. So every tribe, the 11 of the 12 tribes, were required to bring in 10% of their livestock and grain and food substances in the storehouse. And then those tithes were to be given to the Levites in exchange for their service as priests.
Yes,
so it was a payment to them,
yes,
basically.
Yes, it was, because they didn't have any part of the land.
None whatsoever.
They had no inheritance of any kind.
Right, so they were unable to raise crops. They were unable to have herds and those sort mm-hmm. of things. So they relied on the faithfulness of the other tribes to
yes.
bring in their tithes to the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an obligation. It was a tax on the people to support the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
Well, that's all changed now that we're in the new covenant. The Levitical priesthood is no longer, as far as believers are concerned. We have one high priest. His name is Jesus. And he's not out of the Levitical tribe.
No.
He was out of the tribe of Judah. So everything changed with this new covenant. So the New Testament encourages us to excel in the grace of giving. So New Covenant giving is really a tangible expression of love that's been motivated, prompted by the indwelling work of God's Spirit.
Yes.
So our giving today is a response to God's work of grace in our lives. And nowhere in the New Testament do we see that a certain amount is necessary.
Correct.
That there's an obligation to give 10% or 20% or 100%. We don't see any percentage amount talked about. The place where this is all laid out for us, this grace of giving, is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. And God says there through the Apostle Paul that we're to give cheerfully, out of what we have, not what we don't have. There have been incredible stories. People have gone to church and, where's your tithe? We don't have it. We didn't get, our vendors didn't pay us. We don't have the money to bring our tithes into the church today. We'll put it on a credit card. You know, it's like, no, that's not the way to give. And that's not how we're supposed to give. We're to give out of what we have, not what we don't have. We're to be eager to do this. Mm-hmm. I think as the grace of God works in our lives, we become eager to share in what God is doing in this world around us. We want to meet the needs of people in our sphere of influence. We want to help advance the kingdom of God and to lift up the name of Jesus. That's why we give of our resources to so that others can hear about Jesus and the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. But the grace of God works an eagerness inside of us to do that. It works a cheerfulness inside of us. I know people who give to this ministry. We've gotten notes from them. We've gotten calls from them and say, that's the best check I write every month. It puts a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that I can participate in this ministry. So under this new covenant, we're to excel in the grace of giving. And that's a work of God in our hearts through his love and grace for us. He so loved that he gave. He's come to live inside of us. So he's going to make us into givers and into a place where we want to give, that we're not reluctant to give. We're not begrudging the gift. We actually want to participate. We actually want to share. Now, she raised a question about robbing God, and that comes from a passage out of Malachi 3. And the whole book of Malachi is an interesting book.
Yes.
Because God is really telling the people through the the prophet, that you have broken faith. Mm-hmm. This covenant that we entered into at Mount Sinai, at this point in time, you have broken faith with that covenant in many different ways. And you've actually come to a point where you are saying in your heart, and this is Malachi 3:14, it is futile to serve God. And he's talking specifically to the Levitical priesthood. And they are saying it's futile to serve God. Yeah. It's like, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not being blessed like these nations around us, we're going to forget you, God, and we're going to pay attention to what's happening in these other countries and other nations. And they stopped doing what God had required them, yes, to do as priests. So instead of bringing the best animals for sacrifice, they brought the sick ones. Instead of bringing the best grains, they brought the leftover stuff. Well, that's not how God set it up. So they were breaking faith with God in every single way, and in essence, robbing God of his opportunity to work in and through the country and to be a blessing to them,
yes,
and a blessing to surrounding nations.
And at this point in their history, this is after God has brought them back from Babylon and Medo-Persia. I mean, what a miracle. He promised to keep the people together, and now he's fulfilled that promise. He's brought them back to the promised land and said, let's do this relationship, this old covenant relationship, the way we've always been doing it. And they do exactly the same things as three or four generations earlier. No, 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 no. What have you done for me lately? And he just says, people, you know, think about what we just talked about in Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith. These are folks who never received what was promised. For them, the promise was Jesus, but they still died expecting that promise. And the people that Malachi is talking to are going, I don't care about any promise. I just want the goods now.
That's right. And here's what they were saying again. It's futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. Uh-huh. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. So they're looking at those other nations in yeah. judgment saying, look, they're getting away. We have to follow these restrictive laws and mm-hmm. rules and regulations, and woe is us. And look at them. They're just doing anything and everything and getting away with it. We want to become like them.
Yeah.
And he says, even when they test the Lord, they get away with it. So we're going to start getting away with it. And the Lord keeps saying, come back. How can we come back? Through your tithes. Bring those into the storehouse. Let me bless you.
Yes.
Now, he leaves. He ends the Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament, with these words. He will turn. I'm going to send Elijah, the prophet, to you, and he's going to turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So that's the fear that they had, that they were going to be under a curse. Well, in Jesus, the curse has been broken.
Yes.
He became a curse for us. So we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer under the law through faith in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we are to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. And we can trust him to guide and lead us concerning this issue of giving. We can really participate in new covenant giving. We don't have to worry about amounts, whether that's going to be pleasing to God, whether that's going to be the right thing. Am I robbing God? Am I not robbing God? That's old covenant stuff that was written to the nation of Israel. For you, recognize that you are blessed beyond measure. Because you're in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. There's not anything that you can do to get more blessed by God.
No.
So in knowing that, and knowing the riches that you have in Christ, it frees you to give generously, to give abundantly, and to give cheerfully. That's the grace of giving. So don't give in order to be blessed by God so that you can reap some, you know, 10, 30, or 100-fold financial blessing.
Yeah.
Recognize that you've already been blessed in Christ. And let that grace start shaping your thinking and your attitudes as far as your giving is concerned. You're free, my friend. You are free in Christ. Let that freedom enable you to be as generous as you possibly can in supporting the work of the Lord.
Yeah, there's one more little aspect of this. So many people give out of fear.
Yes.
And under the new covenant, you can take all the emotion out of it. I mean, even in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul talks about planning this. Lay aside the gifts as you can, and then when we come, we'll gather them all together. That there was a hard-nosed business sense to this, where you sit down and the Lord leads you to lay aside a certain amount, whatever that is, it's between you and Him. You do so, you move on, and that whole planning exercise makes you a better steward of everything you have. And so don't sit around and think, well, I'm a new covenant giver now, and I'll just wait until I get some kind of ushy-gushy feeling before I give. No, that's not it at all. Don't wait for the emotion. Wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's the whole key. We're to walk by the Spirit.
Yes.
We're to be led by the Spirit. That's what faith is all about, being led by the Spirit of God, resting in the fact that our sins have been forgiven,
yep.
Resting in the fact that we've been declared righteous in God's sight. Trust in the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. through the Holy Spirit to carry out His desires through us so that His desires become our desires. And we're going to see that in this area of giving.
Mm-hmm.
So to summarize, we're no longer under the law. So there's not an obligation on us for giving a certain percentage. We are under the new covenant. We have God's Spirit living in us. He will lead us in this area of new covenant giving.
Yes.
He will actually lead us to a point where we excel in the grace of giving. And like the Macedonians, we will be eager to help. But that's a work in process. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. So if you are struggling and you feel guilty because you're unable to give 10% or you don't want to give 10%, leave that guilt behind. Mm-hmm. There's no need to feel guilty. Trust the Lord Jesus. He will work in your heart exactly what He wants you to do as far as your resources
yes.
are concerned. So Tina, we sure appreciate your
yes.
great question. And we certainly love answering those things. If you're out there and you have questions that you want to pose on the Basic Gospel broadcast, we encourage you to go to our website, click the radio tab, and choose on-air question. There's a form that you can fill out, or you can actually record your question in your own voice. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Click the radio tab and choose on-air question, and we'll fill those questions on an upcoming Basic Gospel broadcast. We also want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We have a wonderful gift for you this month. It's called The High Cost of Legalism. And one of the high cost of legalism is this fear and guilt
yes.
that we experience because we don't feel like we're meeting our obligations to God, that we're doing things that aren't pleasing to the Lord. That's one of the high costs of legalism. Well, we want you to walk free. We want you to experience some rest in Jesus Christ. That's why we want to put this wonderful CD that Richard did called The High Cost of Legalism into your hands. You can go to basicgospel.net, click the support tab, and then just follow the instructions that are right there. And we will get this into your hands as quickly as we can. Again, it's The High Cost of Legalism. And certainly we've encountered people all across this country through this radio broadcast who are suffering, who have suffered from the high cost of legalism.
I was one of them.
And you went free in the grace of God. And that's what can happen to you as well. So go to basicgospel.net, click the support link, and request your copy of The High Cost of Legalism. Well, I'm Bob Christopher, and for Richard Piper and the entire Basic Gospel team, so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.